I'm going to read a few verses of scripture from Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27, reading from verse 22 to 32. 22 to 32. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life amongst you, but just the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and to God hath given thee all them that are sailing with thee. Therefore, sirs, be of good courage, be of good cheer, for I believe God that is shall be even as I was told. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in the Adriatic Sea, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to the same some country, and sounded and found it was 20 fathoms, and when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it was 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern, and just wish for the day to come. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under colour, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let them fall out into the sea. The question this morning is, tonight, it's something to do with your age, you know, isn't it? I've tried to get rid of my birth certificate, I don't really, honestly. But it keeps cropping up. Make sure of your anchors. Make sure of your anchors. And we've just read that the ship, which had 276 people on board, was in great difficulty. They didn't know quite what was going to happen from one hour to the other. And so they cast 4 anchors out of the stern of the ship, and they just wished for the day to come. Now, I don't know what you would feel if you had been in that same ship. Come on. You had been in that same ship, and you was watching these anchors go out over the ship and just wondering what on earth was going to happen to them. But I want to speak tonight on 4 anchors of the soul. And we're going to cast those 4 anchors out. And I tell you, that ship at the end of the day sailed into the island and they all got off. The ship went down and all what was in it. This ship was quite a ship full of merchants, no doubt. Now, 276 people on board a ship, most of them would be men, they were men. Some was going on business, others, a group of them, was going to Rome to be tried of their crimes. Paul was one of them. He was going to go before Caesar and make a defense of his faith in Christ. And God had promised him that he would be going to Rome. Now, Paul had actually told those who were controlling the ship not to sail on a certain day, but they ignored him. Nothing new, is there? They ignored him, and they set sail. And then it was at midnight when the storm blew up. When we're going through difficulties, the midnight hour is not the easiest time, is it? Get up, make a cup of tea, open the window, turn the heat up. I tend to sing a few songs, because even the two that was in the jail in Philippi, at midnight they sang a song and an earthquake came. Well, it's not quite happened that way with me, I can tell you. But it did deliver them, the earthquake. They walked out free. And we amazing how many songs you know in your heart over the years. You can't remember what you did yesterday. You can't remember what you said on the telephone. You don't know whether you wrote a letter or didn't write a letter. But those songs that we've known throughout the years, they just come rushing forward, don't they? And flow. And here was a ship with 270 seats on board. It would have a lot of wealth on it. Gold, silver, commerce. food in abundance, comfortable cabins. But the most important equipment on that ship was the anchor, the anchors. Where does your anchor is holding tonight? Where is your anchor? Now, I have named the four anchors. I've named them as an allegory to what I really want to say. The first name I put need, the anchor of need, cast out of the ship. And I know that most of us go through times in our experiences when we're in great need. We don't quite know what's happening. And we're emotional people and we go through some dark experiences and we're in need. The first one is need. Realizing we need something beyond ourselves. We don't have the strength, the courage, the conviction to be able to go through that need, and we need help from outside of ourselves. The scripture teaches, as man is born unto trouble, as sparks fly upwards. We have our troubles, the scripture says. Job made it very plain. Man is born of a woman of few days and full of trouble, in need. Maybe tonight you feel somehow you're in need. I don't know your circumstances, you don't know my circumstances, but I'm going to one who does know, who's interested, who is feeling the very need we're going through. They came to him, Jesus, and the people, when they knew it, followed him and received them. And he spake unto them of the kingdom of God and healed them that had need of healing. What a day that must have been. I always sort of, it's a wrong word to use, wish, with some television cameras on it. We still have it on record, but we know that those that reached out and touched Jesus, great signs and wonders were done in their need. Lives were changed. And friends, they are still being changed in certain parts of the world. We had the Gideons come to our church this morning, the representative. He told a testimony of an unbelievable conversion of a man who was a Satanist. He went into churches continually and wrecked the churches in this country. He was in prison many times. He even had the cross tattooed on the base of each foot that he could deliberately defeat the church every time he stamped his foot. What a situation this man was in. And he got into prison. Every time he found a Bible, he would destroy it in the prison. But one meeting he went to and something happened. He knew he'd got a need, but he didn't quite know where to get the answer to his need. And in that meeting, even though he caused quite a stir, they had to hold him down. He was rebelling against everything. A word was spoken in his need. And he became gloriously born again of the Holy Spirit. His life was changed completely. And it was happening just the same in those days. People with their needs were reaching out and touching Jesus. These people had a need of healing, some had a need of comfort, some were even having the raising of the dead, and all the time things were changing when they brought their need to Jesus. And so we cast out the anchor of need. But the boat's still rocking. Something is not quite happening. The anchor's gone over, but the big boat is still rocking under the storms of life that was upon them. They was fearing for the life. They didn't even know what was going to happen. Remember, these were days when there were no helicopters. There were no sea rescue organizations. They didn't even have any kind of communication to say we're in trouble out at sea. No, you're on your own. And sometimes we feel a little on our own, don't we, when we're going through our storms. I love that hymn, you know, I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. Something like that. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. That's why me and my wife aren't going to sing. When I was in the mining industry, they used to call me Reddy Deer. And Reddy Deer was the guy that used to put... Sorry. Oh, the anchors fell. Red Adair was the guy that used to put the fires out, didn't he? Many years ago. And because they used to call me Red Adair because they'd say, you know, I was the trouble person that used to go in and sort things out. And when you got on the cold face, I used to sing that. Brian, I need thee. Oh, I need thee. We need thee at this moment. I used to sing it, taking the mick out of me, obviously. And I used to get on the tannoy system and say, okay, this is your singing vicar with a thought for the morning. You've got to, in industry, to be a Christian, you've got to have a good sense of humour, I tell you. You really have, in industry. I used to have a nickname, and I thought it was wonderful, called Holy Joe. Now, I wouldn't have picked that. I mean, I'm far short of that. But they used to call me, send for Holy Joe, he'll come. And, you know, you get this sort of background, don't you? Of course, there are other times in industry where you really go through some difficult times for your Christian faith. And so, the word sinner is not an easy word to accept. We've all come short and in need of an answer. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But being justified freely by his grace through the redemption of Christ Jesus, we come in contact with the living God. The second anchor is provision. Provision. So I put that on my anchor to throw out into the sea. Provision. We live in an age when very few people can find in provision when they're in desperate need and help to come at the right time. And the Bible speaks that we do not have an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the provision, unto the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy, find grace to help in the time of need. Grace, unmerited favour. You know, we don't favour anything by our actions. You could attend church for 50,000 times, and if you haven't come to Christ for salvation, all was in vain. Grace is unmerited. We can't work for it. We can't produce exams and education and go to university and get a degree and all the other things that you can get in life. Now, there's nothing wrong with some of these things, but it's by the grace and the mercy of God that the provision is to us. One of the malefactors on the cross railed Christ and said, "Save thyself and us also." We know what happened to the other man because he realized he was there paying the price for his sins. He said, "Lord, remember me." The provision he knew was Christ when you come into your kingdom. I think I might have said it last time. There was no place of waiting. He went straight into the presence of God. No purgatory. Straight into the presence of God. Today. Not tomorrow, not yesterday, not tonight. Today you will be with me in paradise. There was provision. We can receive that provision. Jesus has provision for each one of us tonight in this place. Two men went into the temple, and one was exalting himself. I'm not like him down the road, you know. No. I've heard people say that. I'm good enough. I'm as good as them that go to church. Some of them might be a little bit natural. No, I've not been naughty there. But you know what I mean? That's how they think. And this man was in the temple, and he was a Pharisee. And he stood and prayed and said, "God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are. I don't extort people. I'm unjust. I'm not adulterer. I'm not a publican," which meant the tax man, they'll call them sinners. A tax man was a publican, and they classified them as that. And another man said, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the one who was exalting himself. He shall be abased, and the humble himself shall be exalted. There was a provision for him. Doesn't matter where we are or what we are, there's a provision in grace for each one of us to come to Christ. The third anchor I've named is acceptance. 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 The boat's still rocking a little bit, though. We're getting nearer to calming the boat because two anchors have already gone down And now there is a third anchor of acceptance. We know the scriptures quite well, most of us, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which was born not of blood, nor of the will of man, but the will of God. For those who have accepted Christ as their Savior, there he is on the third anchor, acceptance for each one of us. Accepting the provision. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief amongst the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and he could not for the press, because he was of little stature. And he ran before and climbed into a sycamore tree. We know the little chorus, don't we, of Zacchaeus up the tree. How does it start? Come on. Now Zacchaeus was a very little man, and a very little man was he. He climbed right up into the sycamore tree, for he wanted the Saviour to see. And Jesus, Saviour, came that way. He looked into the tree and said, "Now Zacchaeus, you come down, for I want to come to your house for tea." Amen. It's a long time since you sang that. Somebody said to me, all income tax men ought to be up a tree. But he went home to his house for tea. What a change took place. He got convicted of the forgery of money that he was taking from people and gave back four times more than what he had actually took from people. And what a change came place. When Jesus said, "I want to come to your house for tea." Acceptance. And Zacchaeus accepted Christ and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they murmured, "He's gone to be a guest with a sinner." You know, Jesus loves sinners. He wants to be coming to each one of us in the need and the time in which we're in. Test me over the centuries, our people that came to Christ, their lives was totally changed from what they used to be. It didn't come through psychology, it didn't through for education, it came from a spiritual new birth within the hearts. Lots and lots of people in churches don't understand that word, to be born again. They don't honestly, to be born again. They think it happens at infant baptism. They think it happens at other occasions. But it's a spiritual birth. I was 16 when Christ became my Saviour. Before that, I just wonder sometimes which way my life would have gone. I know how to do this. I know how to do that. I know how to get away with this. I know how to, and the rest of it. But at the age of 16, I received Christ into my life and into my heart. The fourth anchor, the ship seems a little bit more stable now. It's not quite so shaky as it was. The fourth anchor is going into the water. I can imagine those sailors as those four anchors were put in, and suddenly the ship steadied itself. The fourth anchor is faith. Faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. There are times when we say to the Lord, "Help my unbelief. I do believe, Lord, but give me a little help with my unbelief." When circumstances and situations crowd in upon us. I often talk to the pheasant that comes and has a meal outside of my house. He seems to understand, because he runs off, and then when I go out with a bit of seed, he looks at me and then comes back, and that's it. I've got quite pally with him. All the beautiful colours there. And I see the full creation of God just in that one bird. Never mind the mighty creation of the world. How people can believe in evolution is a mystery to me. It really is a mystery. That's something like, and I say to those little robins that come, "Do you know you've got some ancestors that are called ostriches?" And it took 22 million years for you to get that little red breast. And it took another 200,000 years for the ostrich to find some wings so he can fly. You can go on and on, we know that, in this particular subject. And I like the creation ministries, I really do. I think they're a time, they've come into an age and time. I've just been reading a book, and it's been very distressing, really. Some of the greatest criminals that have slain thousands and thousands and thousands, like Hitler and Stalin and a whole host of them, believe in Darwin's theory of evolution and try to procure a more perfect race. There was even intermingling seeds with gorillas and apes with other women's seeds to try and create a better person. What a stage we went through. But Jesus said, without faith, or God said, it is impossible to please God. The lame man outside of the gate, beautiful. We know the story. The Holy Spirit had just been given. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit in the house, 120 of them thereabouts. And the Holy Spirit was mightily using these men to evangelize and bring conviction to the people. And this man was at the temple. And he wasn't a very rich evangelist, Peter, because he said, silver and gold, ain't got none. A little bit different in some way. And never mind. But what I have, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And the man got up and jumped up. And it says he went leaping and praising God into the temple because of the mighty healing of God that came through that man's legs. And the Bible says it was by faith that he had it. Hebrews 11, we call it the faith chapter, don't we? It talks about Abel, offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain by faith. Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found by faith, nor by faith was warned of God not seeing the things that were going to come, prepared an ark. No wonder they thought it was stupid. You can imagine it. No rain in those days as we know it. And he's starting to build this big ship in his back garden. And it was some size ship. It took 120 years. I find it difficult now to pick a piece of wood up and cut it and fasten it together and put nails in it. I do it still, but I know next day I shouldn't have done. And he did it 120 years, building the boat under ridicule and comment. Oh, dear. But by faith he did it, warned of God. Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place not knowing where he was going, the uncertainty of it all, gathered his family together and went as God led him by faith. Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come by faith. Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both his sons, Joseph, and worshipped with them, leaning upon his staff. Joseph, when he was died, made mention of departing. The answer goes on and on and on. Women in the Pharisee's house, when Jesus came in, she washed his feet, she attended to him. The others just said, hi. And then they condemned her for what she did. But Jesus said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. The list goes on. I throw these four anchors into the deep, and the ship is steadfast in the storm. Oh, I tell you, friends, the world is in a storm. It's in a mess, isn't it? A real mess. Men in high places don't know how to handle it, how to control it, what to say and what not to say. Some guy is spending £9 million to drop a letter through our box to tell us which way to vote. And the road I was driving on this morning, coming, or this afternoon, I thought I could spend £100 on it, it'd be better. Your mind can't get round these things, the instability of life. But I tell you, I'm in the ship with the four anchors and my soul. And though the winds may blow and the storms may come, the uncertainties in our minds and hearts and all that life can throw at us, we've got an anchor which is still that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, firm and safe in the Saviour's love. What a time we can have in the presence of four anchors that's dropped into the boat. Look at that. Even the ship's now not sailing, not being tossed to and fro. Not a single life was lost on that ship. And we know the story, how it went onto the island. Let us pray. Father, we can say tonight we do have an anchor. We thank you for that anchor, Lord. We sure foundation. And by faith, Lord, we've accepted the anchor, which is Christ himself. And if, Lord, there are those in this service, Lord, that have never let Christ come into their lives, oh, God, I pray that they shall feel the warmth of the Holy Spirit and the conviction, Lord, that we need to accept you as our Lord and Saviour and ask him to come in and forgive us of our sins. For we do have an anchor that saves the soul. And I pray for each one of us, Lord, as we come to the end of this day. Some of us will be going back to situations and maybe things like storms that seem to be appearing. And we ask you, Lord, to help us not to be anxious about tomorrow, but to rest in thee, in the boat that has four anchors. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.